certainly on this first Sunday of January, January 2020, we thank you for bringing us through 2019. Holy God, you have been so good to us. We thank you. We bless your holy name. And so, Lord God, as we come now, we come to hear a word from you. God, there is angst and discussions and conflict and doubt and all kinds of stuff going on in the world, certainly in our denomination. But we know that you're still God. We're not the first denomination to go through conflict. It has not been the first time in the United Methodist Church. You've brought us through before many times, and you'll bring us through again. And what we thank you for is the ability to worship you and to serve you as Christian believers. So speak now, Lord God, on this Sunday before the Epiphany, the Sunday we call the Epiphany, when the light of Christ came into the world. Lord God, we thank you and we celebrate that and remember that the light came. We pray, Lord God, that you will be with us. Order our steps, direct our path. And for each person here today, Lord God, that you will bless them, bless them, bless them in abundance, Lord God, and order their steps and direct their paths as they go through 2020. And speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Thank you, Lord God, for the ability to worship here in this place. Thank you, Lord God. We are so grateful to you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is in times like these we need a Savior. Times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure, the songwriter says, be very sure that your anchor holds and it grips the solid rock. The only thing that is unchanging is Jesus Christ. Only thing that is unchanging is God himself. And so we want to trust God in all things. And we trust God. You know, I do rejoice and smile, and folks says, as I just digress 1 minute, when the news was hitting the fan, so to speak, hitting the airways, and people were calling and texting pastors, especially, do you know what's happening, what's going on? And I says, you know, this is not a surprise for God. We cannot surprise God, and God is an answer. We just got to hold on and trust God and don't get overwhelmed. So because I know that God has an answer to all things, and no matter what it is, God is with us, I rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord on this first Sunday. And so my sermon title today is No Need to Be in Darkness. We do not need to be in darkness at all. And we just heard the song, the anthem played, Jesus, the light of the world, walk in the light. I chose that little anthem. They did a marvelous job. Not that I chose the music. I'm acting as if I chose how they're playing. I'm taking credit for their abilities. And I certainly can't do that. But I did give them the list of music and that I thought. And the first little song, the first little chorus by Andrea Krauss, which I like a lot, is Let the Church Say Amen. Oh, let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. I'm going to love to get that played here, and we could learn to sing it one of these days. It's long, and it's very gospely, so you really got to play jazzed up a little bit. But let the church say amen. They did a good job in doing that. Andrea Krauss, who's home to be with the Lord, would be pleased of what you did, young man. We're glad you're here. As you go back to school, we thank you for your talent and your gifts and graces. Thanks be to God. And so it says that we don't need to be in darkness. We've already been told that we should walk in the light. And I read this little reflection. I'm going to try to bring it home, because we do have our communion service. And this reflection is titled The Reorienting and Reassuring Power of Light. And the writer says, while I was ministering at a church in Anaheim, We had a blackout during one of our services. You know, we have had things happen here, right? We've had alarm go on, fire alarm and all kinds of stuff, but they had a blackout. It must have been in the evening or something. An automobile accident knocked out the power line to our building. There were approximately 3,000 people in the room. That's a big church, praise the Lord, right? And close to 1,000 children in the area behind the sanctuary. My Lord, what a blessing. For a reason I cannot remember, the emergency light failed too. And sitting in the front row of the church, I was only a dozen steps from the hallway leading to the children. But the darkness was so overwhelming and disorienting that it was difficult to group my way there. When I finally reached the door that led to a long hallway, I saw that a mother who had a small flashlight on her keychain had beat me to the door and was making her way to her children. There goes the woman again, huh? I got a flashlight on her keychain. That's what mothers do. Come on now. Right? They travel with flashlight. They travel with everything in their pocketbooks. You know that. We got a whole supermarket in our pocketbook. We got everything. Kid is hungry, we got a cookie. Kid needs to be changed, we got a pamper. That's what we do. She had a flashlight. Her small flashlight did not illuminate the whole hallway, but it reoriented the whole crazy moment for me. Some others found emergency flashlights in their classrooms, and still others shined their car headlights through classroom windows. We all got the kids out to safety. After about 5 or 10 minutes, I made my way back to the sanctuary. It looked like a 1960s rock concert, as all the baby boomers had gotten out their Bic lighters. What were they doing with their Bic lighters in church? But they did. And were waving them as if they were hearing Hey Jude was being performed by the Beatles. So they were all in church and they were ready, right? As funny as that was, what I still remember 20 years later is the enormous power of mom's flashlight to help bring hope and orientation to a seriously unnerving moment. One little light brought hope. Hope and orientation to that moment. As we read John 1:1-18, we notice repeated words and themes such as word, life, light, darkness, believe, know, his own, fullness, and so on. They are all words and themes that you will find repeated in the Gospel of John. Notice that at the beginning of his Gospel, John is making a powerful statement concerning life and light. And he links the two. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word is a title for Christ. You see, we call Christ the Word, the living Word, the manifestation of the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. In the beginning was the Word. John says the Word was continually in a state of existence. That means Jesus was from the beginning, continually in a state of existence. Whatever the beginning was, this Word, this Christ, this expression of the invisible God had been in the state of continuous existence. God did not just come on the scene in Matthew. Jesus did not come on the scene, I mean in Matthew. He was in the beginning with God. He had intimate fellowship with God, and he was God. He was responsible for everything being made. He is the source of all life. So John is speaking to a group of people that he wants to make sure that they get it, that this Jesus that they are now expected to believe in was from in the beginning. Right? And John is speaking to a group of people that we call, in the Gospel of John, a lot of them were Gnostics. Meaning what? Gnostics in Greek is knowledge. Right? They are they are big on knowledge. They know things. They are philosophers and so on, and they know things. So they believe that they knew everything, right? They knew everything about everything. But John was saying to them, I know you're all smart, but let me tell you about this Christ. He was in the beginning, right? He is God. God has sent him, and he's in the beginning. And so we see him repeating, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the key, was God. And all things came through him. And then he says, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So he's reminding them that what comes with Christ is life. And the life was light. Light that would pierce the darkness. Now, what kind of darkness was he speaking about? Are we talking just about physical darkness, right? Are we talking about a physical darkness of someone who cannot see, or if we're in a dark room and our eyes are darkened? No, he was really speaking about what? Spiritual darkness. Right? Spiritual darkness. Because the people then, many of them had turned away from worshiping Yahweh. Now, friends, we live in a world now, or certainly we could talk of the United States and the entire world, but where there's a lot of darkness. Spiritual darkness, where people negate God, God doesn't exist, or where people are doing very evil things in the world now. And I don't know if it's because of the advent of social media that is so prevalent and so accessible to us, while we see so many hurt now than we ever did before in the newspaper. Horrible things happening to folks. I was reading, and I was trying to get some stats, but I didn't have any time. But I was reading in the industry, the entertainment and sports industry, how many young people committed suicide last year. There's a whole bunch of young ones, 22, 23, the other day another one, who were deep in darkness. And take their lives. And it is very sad what is happening. Them not having any hope. Not having any hope in the world. Not, you know, we all will have trials and ups and downs and pain and sorrow. But when you live a life without hope, that's what happens. There is no, doesn't seem as if there's any tomorrow. Well, the world at the time when John's gospel came about, the same thing was happening. People were walking and living in spiritual darkness. Right? That thing where they can't see tomorrow. They everything they do is black and bad. Right? You know, there are people who if you give them a cup and it's not filled, they don't think it's half full. They always think it's half empty. Are you with me? There are folks, no matter what you do. I said to someone the other day about someone's illness, I can't remember where now, and this person has been sick and has been going through some stuff, but is much better now, much better than before, and on the road to recovery. So I said, how is this person doing, right? And they're really on the road to a big recovery. And then instead of saying, you know, I'm doing well, I got some little challenges, but things are working out, all they were able to say to me was, what was not working, right? Even though the sickness they had was almost to death, God had brought them back, you know, healed their body. But instead of looking at the good and says, well, you know, I no longer have this cancer anymore. It is now they've checked me out and I'm now completely free. And I'm a little weak, but I'm free of cancer. What did they say? They were talking about the weakness, right? Because that's what spiritual darkness does. You focus on the negative at all times. You don't look at the positive. You don't see where you have come, right? Where you have come, and one doesn't want to minimize any illness. I said to my Bible study group this morning, we were talking about something, and I said, you know, when we complain sometimes, we complain that we have no shoe, and then we see a man walking down the street, and they have no feet. And then we realize that it's not all that bad for me or for you. And it's a choice we have to make to walk in the light. We don't need to have to be in darkness. It's a choice we make. We have to decide to make that. There's some people who are never joyous. Do you know what I'm saying? There are people you see and you say, oh, good morning, how are you? And they look at you like, I have seen people, not any wonderful people here, because I am praying for everybody as myself. Nor the wonderful, lovely people here. They never do that. But there are people that I pass and I'll say, good morning, how are you? Or good to see you. And you would think, you know, I know that I am now a size 4 or something. You would think that I am missing from the spot. And there are people who never speak to you unless you speak to them. You know what I do? I pray for them. Even if they come up against you first, they never turn to you. They begrudge saying, good morning. Oh, God bless you. They begrudge the very idea of just making somebody else feel better. Right? When I see these young men, I make sure I come over to them. I say they were here rehearsing and I was trying to tell them what to do, but they just look at me. I says, are you playing that side? You know, Steve is here. He's a musician. Steve, I was trying to direct, but I realized I can't direct. I says, I better leave. Let me leave them alone because they're good by themselves, right? And they wanted me to hear, and I says, I think that should be up a little bit, beep, you know. But the idea, I was making much of them, making them know that I appreciate them. I'm glad they're here. Yes, we will bless them with something, but as we should, right? As we should, they're young people. And so people don't realize when you're walking in spiritual light, you want to share that light. You want to give it to somebody else. Right? That is what spiritual light means. You want to see somebody else smile. You want to, I say hello to the people on the street, to the train conductor, to the people when I buy my token or the thing. I says, how you doing? You having a nice day? Why? Because I've got the light of Christ. Amen. And sometimes you are the person that one person is going to hear a good word from. Why do Christians begrudge saying good morning or hello or something to somebody else? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Right? We don't have to live in darkness. We have the light. And when you're walking in the light, guess what? Things are lighter for you. So Jesus tells us that he has come to the light. John will say the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The true light. All the other light they had before was not the true light, but the one who was coming into will enlighten. And the true light for us who are Christian believer is Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we receive him, he said, you know, John reminds us that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We know John the Baptist. He came to witness and to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, and the light would come into the world. That's what epiphany means for us, to remember that the light came into the world, right? I gave you a little thing on epiphany, that epiphany brings forward for us the light. The three wise men saw the light. We say it's three, but the Bible doesn't really say it's three. It could have been 10, right? But we say three wise men. They saw the light. And they what? Followed the light. And one writer says, there could have been many more people who saw the light and never followed the light. Never followed the light. We see the light and we are following the light, friends. And we see him reminding us, John here, that the light came into the world. Friends, the light that Christ has shown our world has resulted in many people seeing it and following it. But there are many who have seen the same truth but have declined to follow through. Listen, I thought about this. The sun shines on everybody, right? On all of us, the sun shines at some point of the day. If you want, you can sit in the sun. If you prefer, you could sit in a cave. But that doesn't stop the sun from shining. Do you understand? The sun shines on everybody. I don't want to get theologically heavy here. The sun shines on everybody. I could choose to stay in the sun. You could choose to go sit in a cave or vice versa. But that does not stop the sun from shining. It just means that you decline to derive the benefit from its heat. Right? But it doesn't stop it. The light is in the world. We have a choice to follow the light or not follow the light. But it doesn't stop the light of Christ from shining. Now, who is the light going to shine through, friends? Is Christ still walking the earth? No. So who is the light of Christ going to shine through? You and me. We who are Christian believers. Right? We who are Christian believers, the light of Christ will shine through. It means that we can shine forth his continuous light. Because Jesus says, I have come as light. Now, as I said earlier, there is darkness and there is light. Spiritual darkness, physical darkness. Now, here's what happens at the beginning of the new year. What do we do at the beginning of the new year? We are going to take care of our physical self. Can I give you the list? I got the People magazine. The People magazine, and I was looking at it. It comes through, you know, because I had some mileage, and they were going to take my mileage. And I said, what magazine that is nonsense that I could keep? So I got the People magazine, and it showed up. Why did it show up? Now, it showed me all the people who was, and now here they are, in their weight. This one was 300 pounds, and now they're 150. I said, well, I was never 300. I'm trying to compare. This one was 299, and now they're 175. I says, well, I wasn't 299. What are they trying to tell me? They tell all of us, but I'm just taking it personal. They're trying to show me now that I should either go get the keto, is it keto, or the WWO, or Jenny Craig, or whatever. All of it is telling me just to take care of our physical self, isn't it? To make a new resolution to take care of our physical being. So I'm reading the stories and I'm thinking, all right, and that one was almost 500. I says, oh my God, how did they move around? I could barely get around at my weight, which I won't share. Let alone, right? So here's it. It's all about our physical self, isn't it? This, and it's on the front of all the things and the stuff that got us motivated and, you know, and some of us already broke the resolution. We are day what? Day five, and we think, okay, I should just try that piece of bread, because why not? You know what I'm saying. So, but it's a physical self. There is nothing really that is out there in the public for our spiritual self. Right? How do we better our spiritual self? Right? Because, you know, we could look as, and I'm going to be as gorgeous, thin as Jesse when I'm, Jessica, when I'm as thin as Jessica, you just don't say nothing now. And do not you all think that I'm sick. I'm just been on one of them diets. Right? But you know, when that happens, people start wondering, are you sick or dying or something? Whatever happened to you, Marjorie, my friends would say, are you sick? I says, no, I've just been taking care of my physical self. But my spiritual self could still be in darkness. Get it? So while you're working on the physical, you have to work on the what? Spiritual. Because it's wonderful that I'm going to get it. Wait till I send you the picture, Jessica. Really, I'm going to get a sinner. She won't believe it. She'll think it's a new person. But wait till if I still am upset and depressed, and I don't work on this peace in the heart, is that going to make me, it's only make me feel better for a moment. Right? I'm still going to be what? Depressed and upset. So both the spiritual and the physical is important. But I would like to submit to you that the spiritual self is more important, because it really does carry us through much more than the physical. And so, friends, Jesus came so that we will have spiritual light. Amen. He wasn't so concerned about our physical self, because he gave us free will and choice. He gave me free will and choice to eat that cookie or not eat that cookie. Now, that's our choice, but he was working on our spiritual self. The light came to pierce the darkness for us. And so Paul in Ephesians reminds us of that. He reminds us that through the blessings of God, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. We have been chosen to walk in the light. And we have said yes to walk in the light. And the light has come into the world. This light that could pierce any darkness. And we who believe in Jesus Christ, we have a great responsibility to be that light, friends. This should be your responsibility, or you should take this up for the new year. To shine light wherever you are. So when you see somebody and you don't really know them, and they look kind of sad, you're next to them, you could say, how you doing? God bless you. Or whatever. Good morning. You know? Because you're a light. And that light in you may just be the thing they need to see for that moment. That light. Right? Not the meanness. Not the unkindness. But the light of Christ. Because he was born to save us. And he came and he brought the light into the world. So friends, let us walk in the light. The beautiful light. Come, let the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.